This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
PTBW!
We have not gotten sick. The apocalypse has not overwhelmed us. We have returned. Welcome to, I guess you could say, what is the rebranded weekly show titled The NWA Saturday Special. I'm Scott Criscola, of course. And why don't I just bring him in right now? My co-host, the doctor, Dr. G, George Abellino. No, he's not that kind of doctor. Although, if you don't really bring the goods this week, I might have Fauci become my new doctor on the show.
Fauci, say it right.
I like Fauci. Fauci.
You're Italian.
Fucking Italian. All right, doctor. It's good to have you. We're back. I'm looking at the Skype, and the last time we did a show was March 7th.
Yeah, how the world has changed since March 7th, huh?
That's for sure. A lot of stuff has changed. And yeah, it has been kind of crazy over the past few weeks in the world, much less in wrestling. But we have returned and we are rebranding the show for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think you and I are pretty tuned into what's going on in the National Wrestling Alliance. And I feel like we could do more than just recap the power shows. Number two, I didn't want this show to go away until they came back, because who knows when the NWA will be able to restart again, much like all the other promotions, New Japan and Ring of Honor, and who knows about Impact. Of course, the big two, WWE and AEW, are just taping empty arenas, which after a while, that's going to get stale. That's going to get kind of old. And I realized, obviously, if everything was normal, you and I would not be recording tonight, because I would be at a karaoke bar somewhere in Iber City singing, We Didn't Start the Fire and getting all the Billy haters pissed off. I would hope someone would record that to make you proud. that sadly did not happen, as well as many things in both our lives that are not happening, including a vacation you and I were taking jointly with a group of other wonderful people down to Kakalaki. That got bagged as well. So we're trying to stay positive. I didn't have a good day today. I'm kind of mentally beat up over this, as are you, as are many.
I think everybody at this point.
Yeah, and I'm kind of done with WWE. I know WrestleMania is this weekend. We have plenty of content here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. We'll have two reaction shows. Chris Zellner and Devin Hales will do their two-parter. They're going to do a part per night, because obviously, in case you don't know, WrestleMania has been split into two parts. If you're listening to this show on Saturday morning, part one is tonight at 7 o'clock, and part two is Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Chris Zellner and Devin Hales will do both parts individually. So you'll see two parts on the Place to Be on PlaceToBeNation.com. Also on PlaceToBeNation.com, on Sunday night, of course, will be the Chain Reaction podcast with Nate Milton and a variety of whoever is around. And there's a bunch of different people. Could be me with Jennifer Smith or Brent Chittenden, or who knows. It could be a myriad of anybody. So stay tuned for that. That'll pop up Monday morning on the network. So on PlaceToBeNation.com. But tonight, and from this point forward, the doctor and I are not just going to recap Power and dive out. We're going to do everything NWA, because that is kind of our pet project promotion, Dr. G. We've kind of jumped on it. Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana and those guys have done a fantastic job to this point. And then, of course, the coronavirus pandemic kind of wrecked shit up like it did everybody else. But instead of you and I just sitting around waiting for them to restart, we took our few weeks to kind of get our lives assessed somehow. And you and I decided that instead of kind of waiting around or doing updates and reading news, we're going to talk NWA past, present, hopefully future. So starting now and for the next few weeks until the NWA gets back on their feet and we get back on track, of course, powers are not being done. Of course, the Crockett Cup is to be determined when. I have a feeling we'll see it in June. We've talked so long, Dr. G, about this awesome main event, Nick Aldis and Marty Scurll for the world title for Sweet Charlotte, the national title matches. Just in case anybody's interested, Dr. G, do you remember the card? I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I tell you the truth, it's like, you know, with all the stuff going on, it's like, I you know, besides the Aldis Skrull match, I'm like, what are the matches again?
So here's the only two official matches signed was the world title match between Nick Aldis and Marty Skrull.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I am too. If Nick Aldis wins, if Marty Skrull wins, he becomes a world heavyweight champion. If Nick Aldis wins, Marty Skrull will give him $500,000. So, nope, can't go wrong with that. The only other match was, and I like saying it the Stu Bennett way, Shooter Stevens, your national champion, Aaron Stevens, defending the national championship against Trevor Murdoch. And then, of course, there is the Crockett Cup Tag Team Tournament. Four teams were announced. The Mexa Squad, which is Flamita and Ray Horace. The Rock and Roll Express, Villain Enterprises, Marty Skrull's guys, Brody King and Flip Gordon, and of course, Strictly Business's guys, of course, the Wild Card, Thomas Latimer and Royce Isaacs. So four teams, and of course there was going to be more until the shit hit the fan. So we'll talk more about the Crockett Cup when a card is built and we know when the heck it is. I think it'll still be at that venue in Georgia, College Park, Georgia. But when we find out when that is and things start getting back on track for the NWA, stay right here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network on the NWA Saturday special. Every Saturday morning, it drops at 9 o'clock on the wrestling feed, on your podcast catcher, and on placetobenation.com. So tonight we decided, starting tonight, we're going to do some, we're going to have a little, some history lessons and some nice debates and discussions about things. So I was going to surprise people. But I've decided that maybe I'll look ahead and give you what we'll be doing over the next few weeks. So just to give a little background, Doctor, of course, as you know, William Patrick Corgan, otherwise known as Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan, bought the NWA, bought the National Wrestling Alliance at some mid to late 2017. Kind of cultivated it for a year, started working on rosters and people and venues and working with other promotions. And they started to work with Ring of Honor. And at the time, Global Force Wrestling, which, of course, was the promotion run by Jeff Jarrett, kind of working together with Impact Wrestling, TNA. And, of course, that fell through and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We all know what happened there. So once they got on their feet, the NWA started running shows. So for the next 2 weeks, this week, for the next two shows, today's show and then our show that will drop next Saturday morning, we're going to give you the first two events that the NWA did in the Billy Corgan, Dave Lagana era. And we start with that tonight. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to have a little discussion, Dr. G. Maybe we'll actually have a guest or two. Well, maybe we'll talk about that. But I have an interesting topic I want to talk about in 2 weeks about something involving the National Wrestling Alliance. I think it'll be a lot of fun, but we'll talk about that. Tonight, though, we're going to go back to the first pay-per-view event in the Corgan-Lagana era of the National Wrestling Alliance, and that is the NWA 70th Anniversary Show, which took place on October 21st, 2018, from the fairgrounds in Nashville, Tennessee. And yes, that is the same fairgrounds that NWA / TNA ran their weekly pay-per-views from their birth in May of 2002 all the way until, I'm guessing, into 2004.
Boy, yeah.
You know. By the way, if you want to follow along on that journey of TNA, hook up on the Place to Be Wrestling Network with Place to Be Nation's main event, myself, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey. Every other episode, we do a classic TNA pay-per-view recap. And we started from the beginning in May of 2002 and working our way through every weekly show and on and beyond. And I think we're up to like mid-November right now. So hop on the archive and check it out. So we're in the same building. Now, Dr. G, we talked about the NWA a lot. But I remember being very admittedly skeptical. And I think a lot of wrestling fans were skeptical. Remember, Billy Corgan tried to buy Impact Wrestling, or TNA. And, of course, Dixie Carter was all flummoxed, that whole mess. And kind of like when Steve Cohen tried to buy the Mets. So he bailed on that and then took this endeavor and bought the National Wrestling Alliance. When you first heard that, Dr. G, when you first heard that this lead singer of this 90s rock band bought your beloved National Wrestling Alliance. What did you think?
Well, you know, the thing is that I knew he was involved in the business with TNA, and they and apparently, you know, he really got along with everybody, you know, with the guys, the boys behind the scenes, and he has a real passion for wrestling. So when they bought the NWA, I guess the first question I had is, what is he really buying? There really wasn't much to the NWA. Except for maybe, you know, he bought the name, the rights to the name. There really wasn't much going on. I mean, I know they had some small territories like NWA Wildside. I think, you know, at one time it was NWA Hollywood, but now it's Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So they had some, you know, small promotions that were part of the conglomerate of the NWA, you know, the way it used to, you know, they're trying to run it the way it used to be. With all the territories and having a board and all that nonsense. But when he bought it, I was like, well, you know what? Guy's had a successful band, really loves the wrestling business. Maybe he could do something with it. But I can't say I was as excited as I am about it now. Well, I'm seeing what he's doing, he and Lagana. But, you know, the NWA, since really it broke off from WCW, had been trying to get it going for many years. And, you know, what was it? What's the guy? Dennis Corluzzo. Howard Brody, I think, were the guys who ran it in the 90s. And they just tried so many different incarnations of it. And, you know, we'll probably get into it maybe in a couple of weeks in our special show that we want to do, just to kind of see how the promotion evolved. But going back to your question, I think when I saw Billy Carr, I wasn't sure what he was buying. And then when they said, you know, okay, he's got the rights to the name, I'm like, oh, well, you know what? Maybe there's something to this. You know, he was in the business for a couple of years trying to do his thing in TNA or Impact, and they wanted a lot of people wanted to see him actually take control of it and maybe do something with it. I was like, why not? You know, give it a shot, see what he's going to do. But then when they brought Lagana in, and then, you know, you heard about the studio show and all that, then I was really excited about that, because here is a guy that had like the old school way with it, with a little bit of a new school mentality, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think Lagana was the key. Of course, Lagana, former WWE guy, so he. I think that was the smart thing for Billy. Billy was the head, you know, the face of it, and he was kind of the money man. But obviously, he doesn't know jack about wrestling. You know, it's like you. It's like,
well,
you and I owning
Yes and no. I mean, I'm hearing, you know, when you read things in the press, and online. That he's really involved, that Billy Corgan's really involved. And I heard an interview with Trevor Murdoch on Sean Mooney's podcast. I mean, they really like him, and that he's really, really involved with the nuts and the bolts. And he understands the business, not maybe as good as Lagana knows it, or some, you know, as a person who actually wrestled. But he has a pretty good handle. And here's an entertainer, and here's a guy that knows how to promote. Yes, it's music. It's different genre, but you know, you could use those skills in another genre.
No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%.
I think he's more involved than we think he is, or that we know he is. Obviously, Lagana has a lot of experience coming from the WWE. I mean, his video editing skills are phenomenal. I mean,
yes,
just the packages he puts together is. You know, I mean, the quality, I think the quality that the NWA is putting out in terms of their video quality and the show that they're putting in is top notch. Now, yes, it is a studio show, and I know some people may mock it and may not like it, but I just, like I say every week when we do it, I just love the old school way, old school mentality with the new school spin on it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, the bells and whistles, everything's a little more prettier, but it just has that old gritty style that I enjoy.
Mm. And this was a good time for the NWA to kind of, for Billy Corgan to kind of get things back in the spotlight with it being the 70th anniversary of the promotion as a whole.
Now, what do you feel? What did you feel about it when you heard about Billy Corgan?
I gotta admit, I was a little cynical. I'll be honest. Because we kind of knew the background of Billy Corgan when he was working with the Carters and with TNA/Impact. And I said to myself, I understand that it's kind of cool, but I'm like, I don't know. It's like you and I buying NWA or something of that nature. Like, are we really like, do these guys really know what the hell they're doing? Like, why does Billy Corgan want to own a wrestling promotion? I don't understand. Being a wrestling fan is one thing, but running it is something totally different. So I was a little fishy about that. So to be honest with you, I really had no expectations. And I did not buy this show live, and neither did you. We watched it recently off of YouTube because the NWA YouTube channel, obviously they're not posting any powers or circle squares on Tuesdays at 6:05. So a couple weeks ago, they posted this show. And then the following week, they posted another show, which we'll announce what we'll be doing next week at the end. So I'll be honest, I really wasn't sure what to make of it. I was still very, obviously big WWE fan. And then there was rumors at this point in 2018 about what Cody was going to do, Cody Rhodes, about wanting to start his own promotion. Of course, about a month and a half before this was All In, that big like super indie show that took place in Chicago. And of course, at this point in late 2018, we were hearing about what Cody Rhodes was going to do, and this rumor with him and Kenny Omega and the Jackson brothers, the Young Bucks, coming together and creating something, which of course would end up being All Elite Wrestling. So I don't really know what to think, to be honest. I was pretty much stuck in my WWE world and didn't really think much of anything else in 2018. So I wasn't sure what to make of it. I got to admit, I was a little skeptical.
Well, I mean, and I get it. I mean, like I said, I just think the first question I have, what the heck is he buying really besides really?
He bought the brand. He bought the lineage brand. And the brand pretty much. He had nothing else. The belt, not the actual, not the just the specific piece of leather and gold, but the lineage and the title, the championship, as WWE people call it. They don't call it belts.
And they do, they really pay a lot of respect to the NWA and the champions in the past, which I really like. And, you could tell he has a passion for wrestling, but, you're right. When you hear about, what would you and I do? But, when you have a passion for something that you love, you also have some funds and you have some, knowledge of promoting behind you. I think, and you surround yourself with the right people, I think you can become successful. And that's, we're seeing that with AEW, with Tony Khan. I mean, he's a big super fan like you and I. I mean, the guy reminds me of you. I mean, I've heard him on some interviews. I mean, he can remember who won the Intercontinental belt on what day and it was 70 degrees outside and where he was lived. And
a bunch of us on the Place to Be Wrestling Network have a brain full of useless information. So, not just me.
He took five shits that day or whatever.
Why?
But I'm saying, but look at, he's surrounding himself by people that know the business. He has the business sense in terms of, managing and putting together, the behind the scenes stuff, the financials, based on, obviously his father, who was very successful. So he was able to do something like that. Well, I think Billy Corgan, he's very successful. I mean, he's still promoting his band to this day. He has a lot of knowledge in, managing his band's brand. So now he's managing a wrestling brand and he's surrounding himself with like a Lagana and people behind the scenes and the guys he's brought in so he could learn a little bit more about the business. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's the type of guy that's going to tell these guys like he knows the whole business. I'm sure he's learning along with as he goes along, which, what you want to hear and what you want to see. Now, will this be a successful promotion? Are we going to be talking about the NWA 5 years from now? I mean, the way it's going, I think they could be. But, you know, again, look at what just happened in the last couple of weeks. We don't know how this is going to affect not only wrestling, but everything in the world and how things are managed and how things are going. And hopefully that the NWA, they were just getting that momentum. Hopefully they're able to get that momentum back. And I think people are going to be looking forward to things. So I think it will come back.
I think so, too. All right, so let's paint the picture. It is October 21st, 2018, from the fairgrounds in Nashville. Painting that picture. And it is a production with the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, and Fight TV.
Global Force and Global Force.
Well, they produced it. I'm trying to think of who co-promoted it. I think ROH did this show, too. But it was produced by Global Force Wrestling, which is obviously Jeff Jarrett back here. And we'll talk more about Jeff Jarrett later. The ownership took full effect on October 1st, 2017. Now, his company is Lightning One Inc. And he bought the name, the rights, the trademarks, and the belts. Obviously, NWO is no longer a governing body, and was a singular wrestling promotion. For the first year of his ownership, NWA partnered up with various indies, but by the summer, NWA announced that they would hold their first pay-per-view to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the promotion. They partnered with Ring of Honor and was produced by Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Entertainment production company. And it was available live and on-demand replay on Fight TV. It featured 9 matches scripted by the NWA and Tried and True Wrestling, the TNT promotion. And we won't know more. We'll talk a lot about that tonight, but on next week's show we will. And of course, they kind of worked with Cody and those guys at All In, which was the big show, obviously, in September. So let's dive in. We had one dark match involving a WWE cast off, and that was James Ellsworth, who we'll see later on in the show. He defeated Kareem Brigante with Miss Monica, whoever that is. All right. So one of the championships that Billy Corgan bought was the National Heavyweight title, which of course was that old, remember, it used to be the old yellow belt that looked like the TV title.
Yes.
Tully Blanchard was one of the big winners. Wahoo McDaniel held it a few times. One of the more well-known belts in the Mid-Atlantic NWA era of the mid-80s. So they did a 8-person, I guess you could call it a tournament, an 8-person tournament to determine the new national champion. Now, just to kind of give you a little background, everyone, let me see if I can find it. Here we go. So the belt goes all the way back to Georgia Championship Wrestling in January of 1980. Just a little side note, JR, he wouldn't know this anyway, but Dr. G, can you tell me the first ever NWA National Heavyweight Champion? I'll give you a hint.
I know the Masked Superstar carried it. I know Ted DiBiase was a national champion.
Masked Superstar had it a couple of times in the late 81, but he was not the inaugural champion.
I know Ted DiBiase wore it, but that was after that fact.
Yep. Let's put it this way. I'll give you a hint. This guy was prominent in Memphis. And no, it's not Lawler.
Austin Idol?
Austin Idol, yes.
Wow.
He defeated.
I remember reading that somewhere, and I was like, whoa, I don't remember him.
Yep, he had it.
I know him more from Memphis than anything.
Yep, he won it on January 12th, 1980. He also defeated Mr. Wrestling 2 to win the NWA Georgia Heavyweight Championship. Vacated it in August, and among the winners throughout the eras, Mongolian Stomper, Jack Briscoe, Mass Superstar, as you mentioned, Tommy Rich, Ron Bass, Buzz Sawyer, Paul Orndorff, Larry Zbyszko, Ted DiBiase had it in November of 83, Brad Armstrong, Ronnie Garvin, Black Bart, Buddy Landell, Tully Blanchard, Wahoo, Nikita.
Brett Sawyer won it too.
Brett Sawyer. It was deactivated in September of 86. It was unified with the U.S. title. in 11 years later, it was reactivated by the NWA, by Coraluzzo and those guys, in May of 97. It was won by a guy named Big Slam. And then it was won by good old Salvatore Sincere.
All right!
Remember him? And then he vacated it for undocumented reasons. And then guys like Doug Gilbert, Stevie Richards, you know, a bunch of guys whose names you would never hear of. Hot Stuff Hernandez. He held the belt for 455 days. Then it was bounced around by a bunch of different guys. Cahagas had it in February of 2017. And when Billy Corgan won the or bought the properties in September of 17, he terminated all the contracts. So Cahagas was the last champion before now. And now it was vacated. So an eight-person tournament, an eight-man tournament was decided. It was put together to crown to recrown the inaugural new national heavyweight champion. What they did was, instead of a tournament, they did two four-person elimination matches, and the two guys remaining would face each other later in the night one-on-one to determine the champion.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, I do too. It kind of tightens things up. We don't have to worry about a long, drawn-out tournament. So the first four-man tournament, the first four-man match opens the show, and it is Sam Shaw, indie guy, and then three guys who you know very well, Colt Boom Boom Cabana, and then two guys, Dr. G, who are now with another promotion, Sammy Guevara and Scorpio Sky, who, as you know, of course, would go on to become inaugural members of All Elite Wrestling. Scorpio Sky, of course, was one half of the inaugural AEW Tag Team Champions in SoCal. And, of course, Sammy Guevara is right now with Chris Jericho's Inner Circle. So they wrestle an elimination match. And one thing I will mention now, Dr. G, and it was prevalent throughout the show. Obviously, this fairgrounds venue is a little bigger than it was when Jarrett and them were doing the TNA shows in 2002, 2003. They actually had a second level. Obviously, this place was built better 16 years later. However, the sound there just wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't.
Even with the heavy pops, you really didn't hear the pops, you know?
No, it didn't. I felt like at times that sometimes in the studio with 200 people sounded louder than it was there at times. Mm. Yeah, it was a little disappointing. It kind of took a little edge off the pay-per-view, but
yeah, I agree.
But not the last match.
We'll get to that. Yeah, no, the crowd definitely woke up for that one. So we had eliminations, and in order, Cole Cabana was eliminated first, which kind of surprised me. Then Scorpio Sky. And then Sammy Guevara was eliminated last. So in 7 minutes and 5 seconds, Sam Shaw won the first elimination match, and he will go on to face the winner of the second four-way match later in the show to determine who the finals of the tournament. He's actually right now, Sam Shaw, in NXT, and he wrestles under the name of Dexter Lumis. So Sam Shaw is under contract with WWE right now. He trained with Curtis Hughes. Of course, we're talking about the awesome Mr. Hughes. So Mr. Hughes trained him. I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
So Sam Shaw is in the national championship match and will take on the winner of the other four-man match later in the show. We'll get to that in a second. Next up, we had a kind of a cruiserweight match. Or a juniors match, not juniors like midgets, but like smaller guys. Barrett Brown took on the Laredo Kid. Barrett Brown was actually the last NWA junior heavyweight champion. For those that were fans of during Dr. G's and my, if you're our age and you remember NWA Mid-Atlantic in the 80s, that was the belt that was held by Denny Brown. Felt like Denny Brown held that belt for like 7 years.
Denny Brown also wrestled in Florida. He used to be in a lot of the prelim matches, you know, when I used to go see championship wrestling from Florida. So very familiar with Denny.
And again, in Crockett, he was I'm watching Crockett. I'm watching Mid-Atlantic on the WWE Network, and I'm in December of '84, and right now he's the junior heavyweight champion. So, anyway, couldn't cut a promo to save his life, though. He tried a couple times, and it wasn't good. this match wasn't bad. Kind of fast-paced, typical kind of cruiser junior match. The match was 10 minutes and 5 seconds, and Garrett Bischoff. Barrett Brown got the victory over the Laredo Kid. I thought it was a decent match. Again, crowd was sort of into it, but you couldn't really tell. The acoustics would really be a problem throughout the night, but I thought it was a pretty decent match. What'd you think of the two guys?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. Like I said, I think just trying to get that crowd reaction going. I mean, I thought, the announcing was, obviously with Cornette and Joe Galli was, pretty good. Cornette using his old school ways kind of, you could tell he had a passion for NWA. So, and it came out in his broadcast. But in terms of the match itself.
Yes. By the way, your announcer is Joe Galli, your play-by-play guy, and Corny. Yep. Joe Galli and Cornette. And Tony Schiavone, not yet employed by All Elite Wrestling. Tony will come back at the end of the night to do the main event. So we'll hear Tony later on, but it's pretty much Joe Galli and Cornette for the show. And Cornette wasn't bad. Laredo Kid, incidentally, he's in his early 30s. Obviously, his name is not a public record like most masked wrestlers are. He's gone by the name The Exterminator and Tony Guevara. He wrestled in AAA for about 6 years, bounced around the Mexican indie circuit, was in WWE. He did have a tryout in WWE. Actually, his name was Tony Guevara. He teamed with Sammy Guevara, and they lost by Los Matadores, the one with the little midget bull. He was in Impact for a little bit, and he did wrestle at the Fyter Fest event later in 2019, teaming with Lucha Brothers. They were beaten by the Elite, so that was that Laredo Kid. So if you're remembering the Laredo Kid from Fyter Fest last summer, the AEW show, you are correct. That was him. Same guy. So he wrestles well, but Barrett Brown gets the win in 10 minutes and 5 seconds. We do have a lot of vignettes because I found it interesting, Dr. G, that this card doesn't have a ton of matches, but the YouTube clip was 3 hours and 55 seconds. I'm like, fuck. The hell they fill the show with?
I know. It did. I wonder, too. I mean, there was a lot of film within the show.
There was. There was a lot of past champions, which we'll talk about. They did a lot of vignettes. They did a Scorpio Sky kind of piece before the first match. Of course, as I mentioned, Scorpio Sky would eventually go to AEW, one of the originals. And he would be one half of the inaugural AEW Tag Team Champions. Of course, the Tag Team Champions right now are Kenny Omega and my man Hangman Page. So they did a lot of pieces trying to kind of get – they did a pretty good job, I have to say, of kind of introducing the audience if they didn't know who a lot of these guys were to the audience, like Scorpio Sky and like this next guy. The next matchup would be our second four-way elimination match as to who would face Sam Shaw in the final. It was Ricky Starks, guy we know very well, who would stick around and become one of the stalwarts in the National Wrestling Alliance right now. Mike Parro, who I'd never heard of before this. Jay Bradley, who I knew very well because he wrestled in TNA and WWE. So I knew him in NXT. And Willie Mack, who, of course, now is in Impact Wrestling. In fact, at one point, I think he was one half of the tag champions with former WWE guy. I'm blanking. He was Cruiserweight champion. I have his face in my head. Oh, damn it. What the hell is his name? Why am I blanking? Everyone's screaming. They're screaming at their phones or whatever. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'm gonna get punched in the head when I think of it. Rich Swann. Rich Swann. Duh. Rich Swann. He teamed with a lot in Impact now, and he's in Impact at the moment. So I liked one guy that kind of stood out for me here was Jay Bradley. Jay Bradley has that Vince look.
Yeah, he does.
He kind of reminds me of Baron Corbin, except slightly better in the ring.
I actually enjoyed watching him.
I did too. This match went at a crisp pace. It was in 7:35. Mike Parra would get eliminated first, then Ricky Starks, and Jay Bradley would be eliminated third. So Willie Mack, who reminded me, what did I say he reminded me of? Rufus R. Jones, kind of the same build, the same way he cut promos, kind of reminding Rufus R. Jones from the, you know, mid-'80s, Mid-Atlantic. And kind of that Jimmy Valiant kind of boogie-woogie feel, too. So Willie Mack wins the match and goes on to the final to take on Sam Shaw. Sam Shaw comes out after the match, kind of gets in Willie Mack's face, and then all of a sudden, Jay Bradley comes from off camera and clocks Willie Mack outside the ring. Till guess who comes and saves him? James Ellsworth. I'm like, really? anyway, I thought it was a good match, Dr. G. Some decent in-ring action. And as much as I like Willie Mack, I really think Jay Bradley is a guy that WWE should look at again.
Yeah, or even the current NWA, you know.
Yeah, they could use some more big dudes. AEW could use some big dudes, too. They got too many little guys.
I would say he impressed me in this match.
He really did, too. I really thought he was going to win, but Sam Shaw had already seemed like a heel, so I don't think they were going to have another heel win, so I kind of figured out that it was going to be a babyface winning, so I assumed it would be Willie Mack. So Willie Mack and Sam Shaw will meet later on in the night to win the vacant to go for the vacant national championship. We go to our next match, which originally was just a singles match. Then it became with an interesting stipulation. The match is Tim Storm, the Perfect Storm, former World's Heavyweight Champion, taking on a guy that most people now, AEW fans, know as The Librarian. I am talking about Mr. Peter Avalon. And apparently they had a little feud going on in Championship Wrestling from Arizona. There you go, Dr. G. You're not making it unless you're making it in Championship Wrestling Arizona.
You want to be the Arizona Heavyweight Champion?
I want to be the Arizona Heavyweight Champion because I want to see. I bet you the belt's got a lot of like orange and red and yellow. I bet you it's a pretty belt with like a sun and everything. It probably looks like the Arizona State Sun Devils colors. Anyway, apparently these guys had a feud, and Peter Avalon won the first match by DQ, and then rolled up Tim Storm with help from the ropes. And got the second win. So Peter Avalon, this little skinny guy, and big jacked up Tim Storm, and the little guy, the little heel, has the two match advantage in the feud. So they wrestle here for a third time. Peter Avalon, incidentally, managed by Nico Marquez, no relation to David Marquez, who of course is one of the NWA announcers, and he decides, you know, He grabs the mic before the match, very braggadocious, and says that I want everyone in this – when I beat you for the third time, I want everyone in this hillbilly tent to kiss my feet. Pretty much cut the same kind of promo that Jerry Lawler did in 94-95 while feuding with Bret Hart. Tim Storm said, all right, fine, but if I beat you, you got to kiss my foot. And Peter Avalon said, fine. So we now had a kiss my foot match between Tim Storm and Peter Avalon. There was a lot of moving around, a lot of histrionics, very Memphis-ish. The match kind of went at a brisk pace, 5 minutes and 45 seconds. There were a couple of false finishes that were kind of throwing me off. Again, the crowd, you wanted the crowd to get into it, and it seemed like they were kind of into it. But again, you couldn't really tell. It felt like the audience was... crowd noise was muted, so it was tough because I feel like it was good matches and I felt like the energy level was exciting and there, but you really couldn't tell. The crowd kind of got diluted.
You know, with Tim Storm, I noticed with him, like, yes, he is a face, but the crowd doesn't seem – I mean, I'm starting to see it now with them doing the studio show and the way they're using them now. But I just kind of feel like people feel a little indifferent to him. Like, they don't really know what to make of him. I don't know. I don't know if you notice it. Like, I don't
–
I feel like he's more popular now than ever, you know, in the you know, NWA with the studio shows. But
that's a good point.
Because when I was watching the match, I was like, you know, yeah, it seemed like obviously he was going to be the face going in, but you couldn't really 100% tell that, you know, the way the crowd reaction was. I don't know. That was just my observation.
I do agree with you on that, actually. I think he was very popular. He's a Southerner. He's from Arkansas. I feel like he was very popular when he was NWA champion on the West Coast. Seemed like he was wrestling in championship wrestling from Hollywood often. I think that's where a lot of his main fan base came from. Having said that, I feel like he's definitely like a good baby face. And I feel like now that the NWA has plenty of exposure in 2019 into 2020, that he's got even more. But yeah, I kind of agree. I think he was mostly over in this match because Peter Avalon was that good a heel. And now, of course, he's kind of a semi-heel in AEW, not used the way he was used here. I mean, this seems like a relatively high-profile mid-card match. And he's kind of used as a leftover in AEW. But anyway, Tim Storm wins the match with his perfect Storm Tilt-A-Whirl slam and gets the win. He takes forever to undo his... I'm like, Tim, kick the fucking boot off. You don't have to undo every lace, for Christ's sakes. Bret Hart,
I love watching, dude. You were getting so impatient.
It was driving me fucking nuts. He was like literally unlacing every hole. I'm like, Jesus, Bret Hart didn't do that. And he sucks at that kind of stuff. So Peter Avalon pushes his manager, Nico Marquez. Martinez. Let's see, I almost said Tino Martinez. Nico Marquez, he kisses Tim Storm's foot. And then Tim Storm grabs Peter Avalon's head and his ponytail and then rubs his face in his foot. So there you go. So
nice little, you know, like mid-card, just to kind of get the crowd, you know, juiced up a little bit.
Exactly. And, of course, at this moment in time, Tim Storm, one of the more big-time faces in the NWA. And, as I mentioned, Peter Avalon is currently in AEW. Next up, we have our first title match of the evening, the women's title on the line. And you want to talk about the NWA women's belt, Dr. G. Here's a belt that kind of floated around aimlessly for a while. And, of course, this belt was kind of split up. Obviously, it was big in the 30s. Mildred Burke was the inaugural champion. June Byers had it. Then it was vacated for a long time. Actually, Vince Sr. was a big thing with the women's belt, of course, because of his girl Moolah, who technically won the belt on September 18th, 1956 at a house show in Baltimore. She technically held the belt for 3,651 days. She defeated Judy Grable at the end of a 13-woman battle royal. Moolah was not fully recognized by the National Wrestling Alliance as the new NWA World Women's Champion until 1964 because Billy Wolf, with whom Moolah had a falling out earlier in her career, still controlled most of the NWA. Penny Banner, AWA World Women's Champion, is also briefly recognized in some NWA territories after June Byers' retirement in 1964. So everyone thinks that Moolah held this belt like, you know, very briefly. She did. Well, she held the women's belt for 10 years, then lost it to Bette Boucher in 1966, won it back a couple weeks later, held it for 2 years, lost to Yukiko Tomo in April of 68 in Japan. Moolah beat her back a few weeks later, held the belt for 3,841 days till she lost to Sue Green in February of 76 in Dallas. Listen to this. Moolah beat her back 32 days later on March 5th, 1976 at a house show in Stamford, Connecticut. Jeez.
Really?
Evelyn Stevens would beat her 2 years later, and then Moolah would beat her back a day later. Then on New Year's Eve, 1983, the World Wrestling Federation withdrew from the NWA in 83, and Moolah sold the championship to the WWF. They recognized Moolah as champion, but does not acknowledge previous title changes. So, of course, as you know, when it became the WWF Women's Championship, they said she hadn't lost it since 1956. And, of course, then in the summer of 84, she would lose the WWF Women's title to Wendy Richter. Anyway, the women's belt would bounce around a little bit between, you know, Debbie Combs, Bambi. Remember Bambi? Strawberry Fields, And then the belt kind of vanished through the 90s, and then most of the 2000s went back and forth. Eventually, on September 16th, 2016, Jazz, former ECW and WWE Women's Champion, defeated Christy Janes and Amber Gallows in a three-way at a house show in Sherman, Texas, to win the NWA Women's title. And she had the belt up to this point. And on this night, on the 70th anniversary show, she would defend the title against a very young wrestler named Penelope Ford. And I got to be honest, Dr. G, I actually really liked this match. I thought it was, yeah. I thought it was well paced. I thought the crowd, you could finally feel the energy from the crowd in this match.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And I tell you the truth, Jazz, she could match up with some of the guys, I think.
She was, yeah. I mean, she's definitely one of those ones that could tussle with anybody. She's that tough.
Well, I mean, she made a point of it after the match, of saying she wants to go for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship.
Yes, she did, which I think would be pretty funny. The match was very good. Your runtime was 7.5 minutes. So, you know, pretty good pace, just enough length. They had one weird moment where Jazz was going for a pin, but Earl Hebner's hand hit her head in mid-count, even though Penelope Ford didn't kick out, and then they just kept wrestling. I thought that was weird. Good job, Earl. And eventually, Jazz will put her in the clover leaf.
Shit, because he's not working for your boy Vince anymore.
That's right. He's not selling shit out of his trunk like he did when he was in WWE. Jazz would hook her in the clover leaf. Penelope Ford would tap out, and Jazz would retain the women's world championship. She, of course, would lose it eventually. Of course, now it is currently around the waist of the favorite wrestler of the NWA Kid, that being Thunder Rosa, who of course beat Allison Kay at Hard Times back in January. So, but on this night in 2018, Jazz would retain the World Women's Championship. Next up, we have the finals of our big scramble tournament to decide the new national champion. It would be Sam Shaw taking on Willie Mack. This was a fun match. I thought there was a lot of good bludgeoning, a lot of good grounded attacks. Before the match, by the way, Magnum TA would be interviewed. Magnum, of course, one of the greatest of all time, probably the greatest to never win the world title. We all know that he was probably slated to beat Ric Flair at Starrcade 86 to win that title. And, of course, before that happened, he sadly got in that car accident. And he obviously never wrestled again. And he would be outside the ring holding the new national belt, which, by the way, would be presented by who would come out with his sparkly jacket? Double J, J-E-double-F, ha-ha, J-A-double-R-E-double-T, Jeff Jarrett. And Jarrett came out and presented the national belt. Now, the new national championship looks exactly like the original WWWF heavyweight title that Bruno Sammartino won from Buddy Rogers in 1963 and held for 8 years. The red leather with the plate that looks like the country, looks like the United States on it. And I got to be honest with you, Dr. G, I don't know if I'm a big fan. The leather seems very big and wonky, but that's just me. What do you think? Do you like the belt?
Yeah, it's different.
Hmm.
I mean, it's like oddly shaped, I guess.
Yeah. Incidentally, the women's title that Jazz had that night, they no longer use. It's not the belt that's currently held by Thunder Rosa. I like that belt too. It's big. The current belt kind of looks more like the legendary belt with the little, you know, with the winner with the champion's face in the picture, like Moolah used to always wear. That's what the belt currently looks like that Thunder Rosa currently holds. So this was a fun match, and there were multiple times I thought Sam Shaw was going to win. A couple of false finishes, a lot of big power moves, and Willie Mack would actually recover out of nowhere, get the pin, and be the new NWA National Heavyweight Champion. And Willie Mack kind of, again, he had that kind of Rufus Jones, Junkyard Dog kind of feel to him, but I liked him. He's very entertaining.
I agree.
And he would hold the title for a little while and eventually lose it to Colt Cabana, I think it's Colt Cabana. Of course, the current national champion is Shooter Stevens. He's the third degree national champion, Aaron Stevens. And of course, Willie Mack is currently in Impact Wrestling. So. And Sam Shaw is in WWF, WWE, NXT. Next up, we have this feud going on involving the Kingdom of Josephus. When we were first doing the Power Replay recaps, Dr. G, we were talking about Josephus and his long hair. And originally, these two women came out and were going to wrestle the team of Crimson and Jax Dane. Jax Dane, by the way, a former World's Heavyweight Champion. And who came out to kind of second them to the ring? One half of yours and my favorite tag team of all time. Of course, we are talking about Road Warrior Animal. Obviously,
that's
Hawk.
Right. Hawk. It was nice to see Road Warrior Animal.
I agree. Of course, sadly, Hawk passed away back in 2003. So we thought Josephus, you know, comes out bearded guy with a, you know, with a robe, typical kind of crazy monk cultist gimmick. Kind of like, think of Mordecai, if you remember WWF 2004. He's kind of like Mordecai. Or maybe Undertaker's Ministry of Darkness, only on a lower scale. So you're thinking why he keeps talking about these two women that are standing behind him, they're going to wrestle these two giant dudes. Well, instead, running in the ring is Crazy Steve. I think it's Crazy Steve with two Z's, but I like Crazy. Crazy Steve and Shannon Moore. Of course, you all know Shannon Moore. He's part of the whole Omega group with the Hardys and Greg Helms. So they wrestle in their place. We have a quick, nice little four-minute sprint, and Crimson and Jax Dane win the match. And Jim Cornette comes in the ring and interviews Road Warrior Animal. Talks about all their great wars together. Of course, Road Warriors, Midnight Express. Do you remember Dr. G, the scaffold match? Where Jim Cornette blew out both his knees. Night of the Skywalkers. I forgot what Starrcade that was. 87? I think it was 87.
Yeah, I think it was 87.
I think it was
yeah.
Chicago. Night of the Skywalkers. Yep, I think that was Starrcade 87.
That's a crazy match.
It was a crazy match. About it. Yep, it absolutely was. We'll continue on discussing the Kingdom of Josephus on next week's show as well. Actually, to an even greater extent. And finally, we have reached our main event.
The main event.
The NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. Your champion is Cody. Of course, Cody defeated the National Treasure, Nick Aldis, at All In, which was about a month and a half before in Chicago. Nick Aldis, from that point forward, would complain about Brandi Rhodes' interference, Cody's wife. And during the video package that they played leading up to the match, Nick Aldis is sitting on his couch, and then you see a shot of this gorgeous set of legs and this long kind of platinum blondie hair, and you're like, who the hell is that? Well, it's what Nick Aldis would call his insurance policy. So, Nick Aldis wanted his rematch, and he gets it here. 2 out of 3 falls in front of this capacity crowd at the fairgrounds in Nashville. Cody, the American Nightmare, defends the World's Heavyweight Championship against the former champion, Nick Aldis. First off, let me ask you two things before we get into the match itself. I liked Nick Aldis from when he was Magnus in TNA. And Cody speaks for himself, but and this is where I like the philosophy of people who feel they're not being utilized properly in WWE should leave, forge on their own, build a legacy, build a reputation, build some cred, and then go back if you want. Cody Rhodes did the right thing by leaving WWE because the Stardust gimmick was only going so far. And he kind of floated on his own. He went to New Japan, started the whole American Nightmare thing, joined the Bullet Club. And now here he was co-promoting this indie show back in September called All In. And he defeated Nick Aldis, who defeated Tim Storm. And Cody would join his dad. Yeah, my son. The Dream, as the only father-son combo to be World's Heavyweight Champion. Which I think for people like you, Dr. G, who grew up a fan of Big Dust, must have been. And we watched All In. You and I watched All In.
Right.
That must have been a good moment for you as a Dusty fan.
Yeah.
My son become World's Champion.
Definitely. I mean, you know, what I like about what Billy Corgan's doing with the NWA is bringing back the nostalgia, he has a great sense of history. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, Dusty Rhodes is always famously known for being the NWA World Heavyweight Champion and having his son carry the belt. And you knew that was basically that, you know, Cody was not going to be the long-term champion.
No, no.
And, you know, now obviously he was going to go to AEW, but I was a big Dusty Rhodes fan growing up. So it was really cool to see his son hold that same belt. And, you know, and Cody for the few months that he held it, you know, did a good job. You know, and they did a good job of, you know, going around to the you know, different indie promotions and pumping up this match.
I agree.
You know, when they were on the same card somewhere.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what the NWA was doing at this point. They were kind of hooking up with some indies to get them their name back at the NWA name back out in the forefront. To be able to do this show, and then they kind of piggybacked off the All In card. And so I think I remember at the time, not obviously when we watched it, but I knew at the time that Nick Aldis was probably going to win the belt back because the rumors were strong that Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega were apparently starting a new promotion. And we would find out New Year's Day that it would be called All Elite Wrestling AEW, which is because what their little crew was called. So we have a 2 out of 3 falls match, and now the crowd's finally awake.
Yeah.
Now, out comes all of the past champions that are in the building, including I don't know how old he is now. I think you looked it up. Is he even close to 80? Dory Funk Jr., who, of course, was the world's champion from 1969 to 1973. Out came Jax Dane, Colt Cabana, Tim Storm, Blue Demon Jr. came out, or Mr. Blue Demon. What the hell was his name? I always get that confused. Is it the Blue Demon? Or was it Blue Demon Jr.? What the hell is it called? Let's see. List of NWA. Let me see. Technically, it's... the Sheik. Blue Demon Jr., who held the belt for 505 days.
Wow.
So he was there, Blue Demon Jr. He held it from October 25th, 2008 to March 14th, 2010. Adam Pearce won it in, on either side.
And, you know, when you say that, like, I don't even know whose guys held that belt.
Yeah.
So it shows how relevant it was.
Cole Cabana won it twice. Once in March of 2011 and again in April of 2012, both from Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce held the belt 5 times, and now, of course, he's a producer in WWE. Jax Dane, as I mentioned, was there. Tim Storm, who held the belt once. So, a few past champions came out. Again, I thought this match was start off slow. 2 out of 3 falls are tough. And you even were getting a little skittish when we were watching it, like, oh, Jesus, is really slow. But, you know, 2 out of 3 falls, you kind of got to build it.
No, it went up picking up, and I love the psychology with the first fall. You know, we spoke about it, you and
yep.
I, when mm-hmm. when all this made Cody tap.
Yep, to the figure four, because Cody realized you might as well lose the battle to try to win the war. So he gave up the first fall, so he fell behind 1-0. Incidentally, his insurance policy was the debuting Camille, at the time Camille Kane. Now, of course, in current NWA, her name's just Camille. And damn it, she's a fucking smoke show. She comes out to counter Brandy. So we had a bunch of shit around the ring with that, and then eventually, by the way, the Hebners, father Earl and son Brian, alternated falls because Nick Aldis had issues with Earl Hebner from the match at All In. So they would alternate. Earl would do one fall, Brian would do the other fall, and then kind of both of them for the third. I enjoyed this match a lot. They went out onto the floor. Cody was
a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
Yep. Nick Aldis had a great table spot where he fell through a table and he went for a move and Cody jumped off the table and Aldis snapped it. I mean, it was really good. It was really good. Fun back and forth match. Cody would tie the match at a fall apiece with a crossroads, which he still called it that, which is funny since technically you can't use the term roads. Shivani, by the way, came back for the main event, and hearing Tony is awesome because we all love Tony. So he didn't care saying Cody Rhodes. He didn't give a shit. What's Vince gonna send him a bill? Fuck off. and then in the climax, Cody had Aldis in a small package. Somehow Aldis was able to kind of maneuver his weight, kind of turn over. He would get on top of Cody, get the three count, and the national treasure Nick Aldis regained the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. The longest match of the night by far, 36 minutes and 40 seconds. I thought the match was really good. What do you think of Nick Aldis as a worker? We know Cody's good. What are your thoughts on Nick Aldis as an in-ring worker?
I think Nick Aldis is a good worker. I like his psychology. You know, obviously we know his stuff as a character, or you know, his promo skills are phenomenal. But I would say, I mean, you know, and that's what I was saying when I was trying to compare him to, like, you know, he has that aura of a Ric Flair. I was not comparing him to Ric Flair. No, he's not as good in the ring as Ric Flair. But I think Nick Aldis is pretty good, I have to say. I think he's one of the best out there right now. I think, you know, he's always going to give you a good match.
Yeah, I agree. He will always give you his best. And he's a great heel. I think he's a great heel.
He is. He's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I do too. He might be my favorite of the champions in all the promotions right now. So, and with that, we go off the air. So there is there's your recap of the NWA 70th anniversary show. If you want to watch it, be my guest. It's right on the NWA YouTube channel. Subscribe.
It's on
to
you.
It.
Don't worry about
stuff.
It.
It's on me. I'll buy it. top to bottom, Dr. G, I thought it was an entertaining show. It was nice to see guys that were in the indie world at the moment and then eventually move on to places like, again, a decent hunk of guys on this show are now in AEW, like Sammy Guevara and Scorpio Sky and Cody, obviously. couple guys are in Impact, couple guys are in WWE. What are your overall thoughts on the show, production-wise, quality of the match? What was your overall thoughts on the show?
The production, obviously, I think the production now for the NWA is a lot better than it was here. But no, listen, it was adequate. It was pretty good. And if you had to rate the show on, say, 1 to 10, I'd give it probably like 6 or 7. You know,
I would say six and a half.
I'll go 6.5. I thought it was a pretty good show. It wasn't great, but it was good. I mean, definitely the Cody Aldis match really, I think, is what made me really like overall say this was a really good show. You know, I love the psychology. I think they have good chemistry in the ring together, and I like the whole 2 out of 3 falls thing. You know, we don't see that very often.
So I do too.
I like when you get. When something's not overused and you get like a different gimmick to the match, or even just using an old school gimmick like a 2 out of 3 falls, which I guess the NWA World Heavyweight Championship used to be defended that way, I think in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
60s and 70s, I think it was like a 2 out of 3 fall. So I really I enjoyed the show. I did. And I didn't have to pay for it, so I enjoyed it even more.
No kidding, right? Thank you, NWA. So that's our show. That is the 70th anniversary show. Again, thanks for listening. And again, you could check the show out on YouTube. Why don't we pay some bills and talk about the great things going on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, which is the new name for the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, the Place to Be Nation Network, and placetobenation.com. Episode 545 of the Place to Be podcast. JR and myself, joined by Mr. D'Amato. And Ben Zani joined us too. We dived into SummerSlam 1990, and coming up this week will be episode 546. JR and I will be doing the September 90 MSG House Show. We'll see who our guest will be. On our last episode of the main event, we were live. Me and Nate and Steve did a live stream talking about this weekend's WrestleMania. We had some guests come on. It was a lot of fun. We'll do the live concept again on the main event, probably in late June, early July. Jennifer Smith, Tim Capel, and Jacob Williams back with PTB NXT number 3 to cover the weekly NXT TV from February of 2014. The sixth episode of With This Ring, Ryan and Cindy looking at famous WrestleMania matches. On Row 1, Seat 1's newest episode, Ben features Mr. Brickster and Donnie Janella, no, not Joey, Donnie. The Special Relations podcast is back with Jennifer Smith joined them for that. They also did a live stream themselves this past week. So congratulations. I love Callum, Ben, and Rory. Those guys are awesome. And stay tuned because Mr. McNamara may have a new show on our feed. Stay tuned over the next couple weeks. On the seventh episode of the Adams Division podcast, Steve Bennett and Peter Winson chose WrestleMania matches in a complicated thought exercise. And when you dive into those two guys' heads, you may never come out again. So that's some of the great stuff on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Check that stuff out. We also will have, I mentioned a new Place to Be podcast this week, new main event this week. We'll recap what happened down in the Performance Center in the empty closet. Check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed. Great shows, including the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, Year in Pop, Year in Pop, Dr. G, got that coming soon. Laugh in Theater, Great Debate, Marvel Age, and so much more. While you're at it, subscribe to a pair of tremendous podcast feeds. First, Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position, Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, Journey Through Infinity, which I'm on, and much, much more. And then, there, of course, there is the North-South Connection with my man JT and Mr. Chad Campbell. That's the new home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and more. As a matter of fact, check out a new show that Chad Campbell dropped on that podcast, and I thought it was a tremendous show. It's called Spirit of 06. And I talked to you about this, Dr. G, and you're like, he picked kind of a random year. But that's Chad for you. He's going to go through American wrestling in the calendar year of 2006. I think that's really cool. Not just WWE, all over. The first episode he did on the feed, he did the January 2nd, 2006 episode of Monday Night Raw. And he's not just doing WWE. He's going to do Impact, ROH, a bunch of other different promotions, different indies, stuff that you probably never heard of. So definitely check that out over on the North-South Connection feed, Chad Campbell's Journey, Spirit of 06. I listened to it. Quick listen. It was a nice, smooth show. It was only about 28 minutes, and it was a really good listen, so I highly recommend it. We have also officially kicked off, and I'm finally getting this fucking guy to help me on a project because he seems to, you know, he's another one like Jennifer Smith and some others who don't like ranking things, but our 2020 stretch project determining the greatest WCW match ever. Do all your research, promote your matches, build your list. You have officially 9 months. And since we're home a lot for the time being, watch some WCW matches, damn it. Conversation rules can be found at facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the PWO message board. I'm getting your help. You're helping me out, Dr. G. This is your fucking wheelhouse.
I sent you one the other day, and then you treat me like I'm like some piece of crap.
What are you, Josephus? Piece of crap. It was a great match. I'm talking about we need to watch matches because that's an easy match. We know that match will be on the list. I need you to help me watch some like fringe matches that maybe are kind of teetering. It's like you said to me the other night, oh, what about the dog collar match? Well, of course the dog collar match is going to be on there. We just don't know where. But I need to help you. I need you to help me with matches that could be teetering on 101.
What about the Mulkey brothers? You know, maybe you have one of those matches on there.
Jesus Christ, are you that cooped up at Cabin Fever that you're drinking now? Don't stop drinking all my Vermont beer, will you? WrestleMania, sure. I'll let Chad
pistol, see. How about a Pistol Pez Watley match?
Shaska? A little Shaska action? Maybe I'll have you and Chad do a Mulkey Brothers Mulkey Brothers podcast. Anyway.
Mulkey Mania, baby.
So anyway, check out facebook.com/GWCW matches and start getting your ballot going. The best part about this project is that it's only 20 years. We're only covering matches from 1981 to 2001, when WCW, of course, finished up and was bought by WWE. So only those 20 years. So if you think about that, I think a lot of people really have dived in. We love the participation this year. I feel like we got a lot more nominations, a lot more ideas, a lot more discussion. Again, you've got just under 9 months. And most of the next couple will be spent sitting at home doing nothing. So you might as well watch some WCW matches and start formulating your ballot. So check that out. Don't forget placemanation.com each and every day. New voices, fresh takes. Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report. This Week in WWE by Johnny Crow. Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And of course, my good friend Glenn Butler and his Wednesday Walk Around the Web. And if you're shopping over at Amazon, click on the link there. And it'll take you right to Amazon. Buy whatever you're buying, and a little bit comes back to us to help us keep the site, placemanation.com, going. So Andy Atherton could use the money because he's sitting home doing nothing too. So check it out. Placemanation.com/Amazon. All right. I'm done talking. So are you.
Yeah, you talk too much.
We are back next week. We might as well want to tip our hat, want to break the surprise, or you want to surprise people? I'll give you an executive decision here. What do you think? Should we tell them what next show is?
Surprise them.
All right. So next week, we'll be back with the next NWA Saturday special, and we will have another. We're going to say it's a show, but we'll be recapping another NWA show next weekend. So check it out. 9 a.m. Posts on the Place to Be Wrestling Network feed and all your podcast catchers.
And, Apple, you know, before we end, you know, I just want to say, hey, listen, we're going to all get through this together. And, you know, hopefully we could get, you know, add a little levity to the situation every once a week. But, you know, thoughts and prayers to those affected with the virus. And, you know, thoughts and prayers for all of us because, you know, we're going to get through this, but it's going to take some time. But when we do, we'll be back, hopefully back to normal and back to enjoying our wrestling all over the, you know, all our promotions out there back at full strength. But it's going to take a little time, but we'll be there, and we're glad to be here for you.
Yep, I agree. And be responsible. Don't be an idiot. Socially distance. Nobody gets offended. There's no time to be offended anymore. Keep your 6 feet. It's okay. Get the fuck over it.
I
buy
stay
some toilet paper. The shits don't give you coronavirus.
I like the thing you put up. Stay the fuck home.
Yeah, stay the fuck home.
If you can. You're not in an essential position. Stay home.
Yep. Do that. Listen to great podcasts like this one. I am Scott Criscolo. He's the doctor. You're not.